The Mirror and the Mask by Ellen Hart. Prologue. Traverse City, Michigan, summer 1988. For the third time in less than 10 minutes, Annie's mom rushed into the bathroom to redo her makeup. It was definitely weird behavior. Her mom had a routine that never varied. She was the assistant manager of one of the big resorts near Traverse City and always looked perfect when she left for work late in the afternoons. Today was her day off, so Annie figured something was up. On days like this, her mom usually dressed pretty grungy. Sweats, tank tops, old t-shirts. But this afternoon, she was so incredibly wild, rocketing back and forth between the bathroom and the bedroom, that Annie wasn't even sure her mom knew she'd come back from the mall. Annie Andrews was 13. She and her mom lived in an apartment complex not too far from the Miller Creek Nature Preserve, which was a way cool place with lots of great walking paths. This was the best place they'd ever lived. There was a workout room, a playground, and even a putting green. Annie had taken up putting after her mom bought her a used putter for her birthday. If she did say so herself, she was getting pretty good at it. But best of all, the apartment was close to the Grand Traverse Mall, where Annie met her friends almost every day during the summer. Her mom had always worked resorts, starting with her first job as a housekeeper at the Boardwalk Plaza in Rehoboth Beach, the town where Annie was born. Over time, she'd worked her way up the ladder, all the way to management. After Annie's dad died of cancer when she was 5, they'd lived a whole bunch of places. One time, Annie attended 3 different schools in a single year. But that was a while ago. Annie's mom promised that they wouldn't have to move again for a long time, which was good because Annie adored her current school. She was working on her first boyfriend and couldn't bear the thought of ever leaving. Making strangling noises, Annie's mom wiggled into a tight pair of white jeans, examined herself in the full-length mirror in her bedroom, pressed a hand to her stomach, and let her shoulders droop. Ugh. "What's up?" asked Annie from the doorway. Her mom jumped. "Honey, you scared me. I didn't know you were back." "Figured." Pulling a pink lace camisole over her shoulders, she stood with one hand on her hip, nervously biting at her lower lip. "I got a call while you were gone."
"Yeah?"
"There's someone, a man, coming over in a few minutes. He's..." She hesitated, easing down on the bed.
"He's what?"
"Well, actually, he's somebody I met a long time ago. We've been writing each other for years."
"You have? How come you never said anything about it to me?"
"Well, this is kind of hard to explain, honey. He's been in prison." Annie's eyebrows inched upward. "Nothing violent. He just made some bad decisions and ended up in jail." Annie didn't respond, mainly because she had no idea what to say.
"I care about him a lot," continued her mother, gnawing at one of her fingernails. "His name is John. Johnny Archer."
"Uh-huh." It was a dumb response, but it was all Annie could manage. "See, I knew he was getting out of prison this month, but he never told me the exact date, and now he's here, in town. He wants to see me. And you, too."
"You said you care about him? Does that mean, like, love him?"
Her mom gazed down at her hands. She'd taken off her wedding band years ago and replaced it with a red garnet set in silver. Annie thought her mom had bought it, but now she wondered if this Archer guy had given it to her.
"Yes, honey, I do."
"Does that mean you want to marry him?"
"Honestly, I haven't thought that far ahead."
"If you marry him, do I have to change my last name?"
"Oh, honey, I'd never make you do anything like that, not against your will.
We'll have a lot of time to talk. Nothing's going to happen right away."
The phone rang.
"That must be him," said Annie's mom, leaping up and dashing past her into the kitchen. "Yes," she said, snatching the receiver off the wall, sounding breathless, excited. "You're here. I'll buzz you in. We're on the east end of the complex, 3rd floor. Turn right when you get off the elevator." She listened for a few seconds. "Yeah, she's here." Turning her back away from the door, she whispered, "Me too. Fingers crossed." Annie walked into the kitchen. She had big ears and had picked up everything her mother had said, but she wasn't sure what it all meant. Her mom hung up the phone. Slowly, she turned, her face flushed, her eyes darting nervously.
You're going to love him. I know you will.
Where does he live now?
Well, when he was a kid, his family lived all over.
But what about now? Asked Annie.
Like I said, he just got out of prison.
Is he going to stay with us?
Would that be such an awful thing? Annie truly didn't know, but she had a suspicious feeling that it would. She and her mom were a team. They didn't need anyone else to make them happy. Her mom had never dated after Annie's dad died. Annie asked her about that once. Her mom said she was too busy earning a living to worry about romance. Annie was still deciding what to say when the doorbell rang.
How do I look? Asked her mom, searching Annie's face for reassurance.
Okay, I guess. She rushed to the door. Outside in the hall stood a dark-haired guy wearing a red and blue plaid shirt and jeans. He was holding a beat-up-looking suitcase and a paper sack.
Mandy, he said, letting the suitcase drop. He whipped off his sunglasses. God, you haven't changed a bit. He grabbed her and squeezed her tight, his eyes closed.
He opened them while they were still hugging and looked at Annie. And then he winked.
Annie frowned. The wink made her feel weird.
Tugging at Johnny's arm, her mom led him into the living room where they all sat down, Johnny and her mom on the couch and Annie in a chair across the room.
Johnny, I'd like you to meet my daughter, Annie.
Johnny nodded, grinned. That's when Annie decided he was sort of good-looking. His skin was really pale, and he wasn't much taller than her mom, but he was built. Annie had twinkly eyes and a smile that promised something fun.
Hey, said Johnny, reaching around behind him for the brown paper sack. I bought you both a present.
You didn't need to do that, said Annie's mom, although she looked pretty darn happy about it.
Here, he said, handing her a small box.
Her mom acted a lot like a dog they'd once had. When you said the word treat, he wagged his tail so hard that his entire body shook. That's what Annie's mom looked like. She was vibrating. Annie wasn't into obvious emotion and thought the reaction was pathetic. Old people could be so uncool. When her mom opened the gift, her eyes lit up. She held up a tiny bottle of perfume so Annie could see it. Unscrewing the cap, she sniffed. It's wonderful. I love it.
So do I, said Johnny. One eyebrow raised at her, another grin spreading across his face.
And for you, Annie, he said, pulling a paper back out of the sack and tossing it across to her. Do you like novels?
Sometimes, she said nonchalantly, one leg draped over the other. He wasn't about to get some stupid overreaction out of her.
What's the title? Asked her mom.
Catcher in the Rye, said Johnny.
Her mom's smile dimmed. You think that's an okay story for a 13-year-old girl?
Johnny shrugged. I read it when I was 13. It was my favorite book for years.
Sensing that there might be something off-limits about the novel, Annie got up. Think I'll go down and sit by the putting green.
Honey, I'm not sure.
Oh, let her have some fun, said Johnny.
Annie had just opened the front door when Johnny added, Take your time, kiddo. Your mom and me will just be up here getting reacquainted, and hey, I thought I'd take you both out for pizza a little later. That sound good to you?
Johnny, said her mother, can you afford that? I could make us something here.
Hell, woman, if I can't afford to take my two favorite ladies out to dinner, they might as well shoot me now.
Favorite ladies, thought Annie. Pathetic beyond belief. But she glanced back at him because the defiance in his voice connected with something inside her. For the first time since his name had been brought up, she found herself smiling.